Well, hi there and welcome. It is Friday, not just any Friday though, first Friday of the month. Every Friday we commemorate in a very special way the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on the first Friday of the month, we do so in a more profound and I think deeper way. And that means we're going to be having our monthly show on the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Take two with Jerry and Debbie and you at 833-288-3986. You can start calling right now. Any angle, any perspective, any love you want to show for Jesus in the Eucharist, what it means to you, if you have a way of preparing, maybe a thank you after communion. What would you like to share with the world today? 833-288-3986.
So it's all things about the Eucharist today, the source and summit of our faith. Please call in because people are listening and they want to learn about the Most Holy Eucharist. So here is the number, 833-288-3986. Fill the phone lines. Share your understanding of the Eucharist, what it has done in your spiritual life, how it's transformed you in many, many ways. We want to be able to spread this far and wide because, like I said, Jerry, this show is so important when it comes to reaching people in the privacy of their cars and their homes, and they can really just let this great faith formation class, if you will, because that's kind of like almost what we're going to be doing today. They can absorb it in a very, very peaceful way, very easy way, and that's the beauty of having these discussions.
That is correct. And so the lines are starting to ring already, which is no surprise because we know, Take Two family, you all have a deep love and reverence for Jesus Christ's real presence in the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist. So we're going to count on you to make this a great show as always. A little analogy, it just came to my mind, Debbie. A lot of times the tabernacle is left kind of all alone in churches. So few people at sometimes go into reverence Jesus and pay time with him. I was going to say we can treat this show in the same way. Let's show up, okay? Let's show up, be strong about the Eucharist. You're telling the world what it means to you, and there will be people listening who maybe won't be where you are in your faith walk. They're wondering, they're curious, they oppose the church's teaching on the Eucharist, and they're somewhere along that spectrum, and your take could be a life changer today, maybe a soul saver. 833-288-3986.
We really need to hear from you. So if you're driving, maybe pull over safely to the side of the road and make that very impactful call because people are listening. We have clergy that listens. We have non-Catholics that listen, atheists, agnostics. We have a lot of people listening from around the world. They tell us all the time that what you have to say, your stories, make a difference. 833-288-3986. That's why I really believe this particular platform, especially here on Take Two, is very important right now in this world. We need to get our stories out there. So, Jerry, can I share what happened yesterday?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so yesterday was my mom's one-year anniversary of her passing, and it was the feast of St. John Vianney, and a great, great saint, and we love him very much. And my sister and I went to the cemetery to visit my mom and dad, because they're both buried at the mausoleum there. It's a big one. It's a big shared one, and it's beautiful. And it was just so peaceful. So my sister and I decided after paying our respects to our parents, we traveled around the cemetery to find various friends that had passed. It's Catholic cemetery, so Catholic friends. And you talk about the Eucharist and how the Eucharist binds us and keeps us together, and that's the beauty of being buried in a Catholic cemetery. We have that shared understanding of the Most Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And we did. We traveled around. I saw my friend Jackie, right? She's buried there as well. And then my sister and I tripped upon something that was so exciting, we couldn't believe it. We did not realize there was a section dedicated to our diocesan priests.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
And we saw and paid our respects to at the gravesites of all these priests that I particularly worked for two of them. Okay. And it was amazing. And my sister and I were so excited to be there. And it's only about I would say about 100 yards from my parents, where my parents are buried. I thought, wow. And we got to experience this on St. John Vianney. And I talk about Father Doug Lorig, who passed. I worked for him for many years, a wonderful priest. He was on EWTN television a few times, but on his gravesite, he has, "At every moment, do what love requires," because he was very, very close to St. Therese of Lisieux. And just seeing this row of priests makes you, and I thought to myself, thank you for bringing us the Eucharist, all the years that they brought us the Eucharist.
Well, and as the church teaches, and it says in Scripture, in what is it, the book of Hebrews, I think, maybe quoting one of the Psalms, I'm not sure, but you are a priest forever. You are a priest forever. And that is the true reality, dear friends. When a man is ordained a priest, he has that mark put on his soul that conforms him to Christ, so he can consecrate the Eucharist, forgive sins, and so forth. And upon his death, he remains a priest into heaven, mm-hmm. which is why mm-hmm. it's so important that we pray for our priests. Because if they fail to make it to heaven, how woeful is going to be their eternal punishment. So need to definitely pray for our priests. Mm-hmm. And we're praying that you will call in right now. And we're confident that you will. We have a couple lines available at 833-288-3986. Do you have a parish that has Eucharistic adoration? My parish is rather small, so we have it Wednesdays after the 8 a.m. Mass for a couple hours. And then on First Fridays, we have a Eucharistic adoration from after the 8 a.m. Mass overnight into Saturday. And then we have the first Saturday Mass at 10 o'clock. So the Blessed Sacrament is exposed at my parish right now. So tell us about the time you spend in adoration. Preparing to receive communion, has Jesus ever really, touched your heart in a very profound way when you've received him in the Eucharist, the real presence? 833-288-3986.
And sadly, we have a lot of our fellow Catholics that doubt the Eucharist, that don't believe, and it's very unfortunate. So what you have to say today can really help those souls that are struggling with the understanding, the teaching of the Eucharist, the acceptance of the Eucharist. Because remember, it's a source and summit of our faith. The most important central aspect that happens in the Most Holy Eucharist. Let's talk about how it can transform our spiritual lives today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. 833-288-3986. Please join us.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I want to thank the show team for their always great job, the affiliates for carrying the program. And today, it's your platform as always, and if you've ever wished that you could just tell the world how much you love and revere and adore Jesus, his real presence in the Eucharist, this is your chance, but you have to join us by phone or one of the other ways, email, social media comments, and so forth. But the number is 833-288-3986. We're going to get started with your calls momentarily. I want to mention, first of all, The Mystery of Divine Love is a book at EWTNRC.com. It's by Father Wojciech Giertych. He's a theologian of the pontifical household and aspires to nothing less than giving you intimate, quote, eye contact with God. Father Giertych reveals how to cultivate the theological and moral virtues in your daily life, how to pray in faith each time you pray, even when your faith has been challenged, and how to determine authentic love in marriage and how to regard sexuality as an expression of charity, regardless of your vocation. How Christ shows us the face of the Father and his paternal heart. The Mystery of Divine Love by Father Wojciech Giertych is available at EWTNRC.com, where we encourage you to buy Catholic, okay, shop. EWTNRC.com.
Okay, before we get to the phones, I'm traveling down memory lane here today. I was talking about the pastor and priest that I worked for, Father Doug Lorig, he died in 2019. Another aspect of his ministry work, Jerry, is he absolutely loved Our Lady. He loved the Blessed Mother so very much. So much so that he was the spiritual advisor for our big Marian conference that we have here in Arizona in August every year, which has grown just in so many beautiful, blessed ways. And I know he would have been really, really proud if he was still with us, to see that today, this month, our Marian conference, the speakers are Father Donald Calloway and, Bishop Strickland. And so I know that Father Doug, if he were with us, well, he is, he's alive in Christ. And I pray that God allows him to see the beautiful fruits of all his efforts. And that goes to the heart of what we're talking about today, because the Eucharist brings us together. It is so powerful, folks, so powerful. Please, I'm begging you, if you have any doubts about the Eucharist, dive deeply into the catechism, go talk to a priest, really go to prayer and deepen your understanding, because once you really do understand the Eucharist, it's a spiritual game changer.
Indeed, indeed. We got calls we're going to go to right now. One line open, 833-288-3986, talking about the Eucharist. Maybe you look for opportunities to share the truth about the Eucharist with people you encounter. Maybe you found yourself in friendly dialogue or debate with somebody about it. We just want to hear your perspective on this, 833-288-3986. Let's go to Karina in Houston, Texas, listening today on Alexa. Hi, Karina. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, yes. Let me just make it quick. I really do thank you all for doing such an awesome, awesome job, bringing so many people back to God. And as I was saying earlier, I'm a public school teacher, and it's not easy to nurture our children, especially in the public environment. At least 5 years ago, our church started the adoration. I signed up. I never thought I would be able to make it, but I did. And before you know it, God started pouring so much grace upon me on my career, and I managed to share my faith with my students whenever I have the opportunity. And I really know that my career has come to an end. I've been thinking, if all these teachers come and sit in front of God, ask for guidance, their job would be so much easier, so much, much easier.
Yeah. Oh, Karina, you tapped into something very, very important, and it reminds me of something that happened just a couple days ago with a very dear friend of mine. She texted me and she said, "Hey, Debbie, you'd probably know this. Do you know any silent retreat centers? I want to." She was looking into a silent retreat, and I wrote back to her on text. I said, "Go to Adoration." And she goes, "Oh yeah," and she went off to Adoration. And Karina, you're on to something. Absolutely. You know, when we need help, when we need direction, when we need to be filled with the Spirit, where do we as Catholic Christians go? To the Eucharist, folks. To the Eucharist. And we have Adoration, which is the exposition of the Most Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity. You are sitting in front of Jesus. That why wouldn't we run? Why wouldn't we run there? I think it was, is it Sister Breege McKenna? I believe so. She said something to the effect of, when you know that Adoration is happening in your church, you should make a beeline there. You should race to get there. The parking lots should be filled. And yet, in so many churches, we struggle to get to a doors. Karina, don't get me started, because I'm very big on the Eucharist, and I want to get out there and shout on the rooftops, because I just think we're missing it, and you tapped into it, and God bless you for that.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Karina. Please join us again anytime, and that line is open at 833-288-3986. Just a thought I had on that too, Debbie, is, you know, when we spend time with Jesus, he fills us up with himself. You know, in John 4:10, the woman at the well, you know the story, and Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water."
That's
right. He talks about how living water is going to well up within us, and then it just has to have an outlet somewhere. That's in evangelization. Parishes where there's adoration, they have vocations, a lot of priestly and religious vocations, holy marriages, and evangelization outreaches. So, yeah, that time in front of Jesus in the Eucharist is indispensable for all of us, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, let's hear what Mark has to say in Kansas on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Go right ahead.
I'll share my little experience, well, my personal experience with Jesus and the Eucharist, and perhaps this might help some Protestants or people who left the church for Protestantism. When I was 6 or 7, I was in first grade, and they gave us the St. Joseph's Baltimore Catechism, which is the standard truth teaching of the church, and God don't change, and the truth don't change. And so we were reading it, and the teachers, you know, helped us go through it, and I knew that I was approaching something very special. I heard perhaps the Virgin Mary say, oh, what are you going to say to Jesus? This is the first time you're going to meet him. So I said, well, don't ever miss me, you know, what I said. And I remember going to First Holy Communion. It was very special. There was something special there. I believe Jesus is present in the Eucharist. And so, okay, so 2 years later, I'm in fourth grade, and my family's leaving the church for Protestantism, because back in the 70s, that's what a lot of people did. They left. They said, oh, we don't need this, we don't need that, we don't need this. So they brought me along to their Bible study, and I went. But all the time, I knew in my heart that Jesus was still in the Holy Eucharist, and their intellectual advantage over, you know, the books of the Bible, you know, it never changed that for me. And so as the years went on, in high school, you know, we kept sharing Word of God with them and so forth, but it was always the Eucharist. That was always the Eucharist. Go to Mass. Go to Mass. Go to Mass. That's what Jesus is. It's not that you're going to go to, you can come to our church here, see the assembly of Christian people or whatever, and, oh, they're going to have a Bible open. They're going to talk about it, and they're going to talk, and they're going to research, and they're going to give you some good pointers, but that's not where Jesus is. Jesus is actually in the Catholic Church being offered in the Holy Eucharist. So that's basically what I wanted to share.
Wow, fantastic. Well, we want to thank you so much for calling, Mark, and for being it says here you're a long-haul trucker, so thank you for doing that as well. You had mentioned a few things that I just wanted to quickly touch upon. You know, you mentioned the people who leave the Catholic Church for either Protestant churches or evangelical churches or nothing, no church at all. Well, in effect, they're walking away from Jesus, just like many of his disciples did in John chapter 6. And it's always important to point out, Jesus didn't say to them, wait, before you go, I was just speaking metaphorically or symbolically. He was speaking truthfully about his flesh and blood, and we have to eat that flesh and blood to have life in us. And I always say, if you want a real personal relationship with Jesus, eat him, eat his flesh, and drink his blood. Because John chapter 6, I'll just be real quick, the word for eat is, in the Greek, it means munch or gnaw. It means to literally, physically chew on something when Jesus says, eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Well said. I echo what Jerry said, Mark. Thank you so much for being a trucker. We love our truckers. You guys listen to Take Two all the time. That is amazing. So thank you. And you know, you shared from your heart, and you shared the truth of the Eucharist and what the Eucharist means to you, and meeting Jesus in the Eucharist. And I just wish, my prayer for everyone is that people would come to the understanding, the deep understanding of the beautiful gift that Jesus himself left for all of us. And we have a dear friend, Mark, Mother Miriam. Jerry and I know and love her so very much. I remember, Jerry, on that one pledge drive, we were working with Mother Miriam, and she made that statement about, you know, it's not just this, you know, this bread that we're gnawing on. Help me with this. She said it so much better. God commanded the bread to obey, mm-hmm. and the bread did.
Yeah, right.
And the way she said that, Mark, I was like, wow, Mother, you're so right. He commanded the bread to obey, And it did. Isn't that amazing, Mark? When I think of that image, I'm like, wow. And in the priest, in Persona Christi, that's what the priest with the consecration happens. So it is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And we're supposed to take him inside of us. What do you think, Mark? Final words?
I could keep going on for an hour or two. But, yeah. Try to go to daily mass if you're struggling with mental health issues or any kind of ailment, just go there to the Holy Mass where the Eucharist was bleeding in Europe, or the doctors did studies and they found a heart tissue in there. It's the Lord hidden there. He loved us so much, he didn't want to leave us, so he put himself in sacramental form for us all the time. So if you left the church, please come back. There's more grace there for you.
Yeah. Well, and I always say this, Mark and Jerry, why do the Satanists for their black mass, why do they try to steal a Eucharist? Why? Because it is Jesus. Okay? It's that simple. When you think about it, you go to the flip side of things and you see why the Satanists do what they do. They recognize, they know that is our Lord. And yeah, it's unfortunate indeed that we have so many Catholics that don't realize it. It's very unfortunate.
Thanks, Mark, for the call. Safe driving to you. Please keep us in your prayers. We'll do the same for you. Talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist today on this first Friday of August. And let's go to Mary, who is in Long Island, listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Mary. We're so glad you called.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very nervous right now.
Don't be.
I talked to him about my son, who has a special relationship with Jesus and with the Eucharist. And I just want to preface it that on a pilgrimage, I had an experience with the Eucharist where it actually started beating rhythmically like a heart on my tongue. And when I swallowed it, it went down all warm, and I felt the warmth go all the way down. And then I was just transported to a place of love, peace, and joy. And I stayed on my knees on a hard marble floor for, I guess, like 25 minutes like that, and just experiencing peace, love, and joy like I'd never, ever experienced before. And my spiritual director, my priest, who was on pilgrimage with us, said I got a taste of heaven. Now, I was a believer in the true presence, so I didn't know why it happened, but I just accepted it, and it's just been beautiful, and it helps me when people pass, that I know that this is the peace, love, and joy that they're feeling when they're at home in heaven with God. But fast forward some years, so that was 1997. In 2005, I had my son, and I was a religious education teacher, and I always taught my students about the true presence. That was the most important thing to me, was to make sure they understood that that was, the body, soul, blood, and divinity of Jesus Christ in that Eucharist. And so when my son received, I didn't let him receive the practice host, I want him to taste it as Jesus for the first time. So after he consumed him, I said, so how did it taste, Nicholas? And he looks at me with this angelic look and says, it tasted just like Jesus. And then the next day at Mass, he said to my husband and I want to receive Jesus every day for the rest of my life. And if I miss only once, I'm going to cry for months. And so he received every single day. I mean, I took him during prison. God always paved the way for it to happen, even when I was hit by a truck piled snow in the church parking lot and I was laid up for a month. The priest came to the house and gave Nicholas communion. And then COVID hit, and he was very upset because they closed the churches. So we went to our priest, and he was giving him communion in the rectory, and then the bishop passed down a thing saying that they can no longer do that.
Mary, can you hold it? Mary, could you hold it right there? You hear the music? We're going to have to hit the pause button. We have to hear the rest of this story. So if you can hang on, when we come back, you can pick it up where you left off. And we're talking about the Most Holy Eucharist today on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie. You don't want to miss this broadcast, so stay with us.
Well, we're having another very beautiful conversation about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. And that's because of you, with your takes, including Mary on Long Island, New York. Mary, sorry for the interruption there, but boy, what you're telling us, it sounds like you had a very special son there, and we want to talk about that. But go ahead and just pick up and bring your thought to a completion here so we can comment on it.
Okay, so then we went to different priests we knew at different parishes to see if he could get communion, and nobody could. And then the last priest we spoke to explained to him that he has to be obedient to his bishop, and his bishop gave orders that they could not do that. And he says, Nicholas, you need to be obedient as well. And so Nicholas learned like a whole thing there. And then they said, we do have one more priest, and he said, Mom, that would just be wrong, because even if he doesn't know, and then he'll give us communion, and then that'll be bad on us. So he understood what the priest was saying, and he just took that to heart, and he just watched Mass. On TV, he participated in Mass, and he would do everything, like get down on his knees during consecration, and it was so beautiful. Now when the churches reopened, he had a fear of COVID, and so he was too afraid to go back. But now we've been going to a church that has like a glass partition between the church and the vestibule, and we can hear everything and see everything, and we stay in the vestibule, and the priests mm-hmm. are kind enough to come back into the vestibule at communion time and give communion to Nicholas and I. And, he's such a reflection of Jesus. He's so good mm-hmm. and he's so pure, and he's so mm-hmm. full of love and comfort, and his friends have accepted like how he is. My house is always a house everybody came to after school and on the weekends, and if we were going to an evening Mass, the friends were like, you can come with us, and then you can come back and stay longer. And sometimes they would choose to come, sometimes they wouldn't, but they all just accepted how he was, and it's just a beautiful thing.
So Mary, couple things. How old is Nicholas now?
Now he's 17.
He's 17. Has he thought about becoming a priest?
He has thought about it. All the priests asked that of him, and he said...
I'm laughing, too, because I had that. I was going to ask you that, too, Mary. So I guess we're all on the same page here.
He said maybe. I told him, just always follow what you feel God's leading to you. Listen to your heart. I know that he loves children, and he would love to get married and have children. Mm-hmm. He's really has to discern it. He would have a lot of children if he became a priest. So the parishioners.
Well, we put Nicholas and you in our prayer book, so that continued prayers for him and the blessings. I'm sure he's probably very up on the story of Blessed Carlo Acutis. Nicholas sounds so similar to Carlo's story. And if Nicholas hasn't been introduced to that story yet, please ask him to look into it. You can find everything on the internet now, and you can learn so much about this wonderful young man and his very short life here, because he was so in love with the Eucharist, just like Nicholas. It's very similar, and he used to say it's his highway to heaven, the Eucharist. And then he put the whole Eucharistic exhibit together, and it was approved by the Vatican. I can go on and on. That's why he's on the road to full canonization. But is your son know of Blessed Carlo?
I just looked into Blessed Carlo recently, and I actually ordered a book, which came a week ago. So I told my son yes, and I said, we should read the book together.
Remember these saints, Mary, they want to be friends with us. So your son having this connection with Carlo, they will be friends. If your son wants that, and that's a beautiful thing, because you can hear by your story, Mary, of Nicholas, that he has that heightened awareness of the Eucharist and a deeper love for the Eucharist, just like Blessed Carlo. So they should become friends.
And one more thing I just want to tell you about him is that he'll only receive from the priest the clothes of the consecrated hands, and he'll only receive on the tongue. And he has to wear his suit and tie and dress shoes on a Sunday. If we go on vacation, we need to bring a suit with us. so that, you know, he just has the utmost respect for the Eucharist, and it's beautiful. And I think what you just said about being friends with Blessed Carlos is such a beautiful thing. And I'm going to, you know, talk to him about that, I'm sure. I mean, his eyes lit up when I told him about Blessed Carlos. So I know that that idea he'll really be happy with.
Well, Mary, I tell you what, it sounds like he's a special young man, gifted with graces from God, and God does this. How many young people in the church, young saints, and of course they were very holy from an early age. So God may very well have something a very special planned for Nicholas's life. But I just want to say, God needed your cooperation and your husband's cooperation to raise him to be the young man that he is right now. So God bless you. Our prayers will be with you and your husband and Nicholas. I don't know if you have any other kids, but we put everybody in the prayer book, and we'd love to hear back from you at some point down the road, Mary. You can email us at take2@ewtn.com, or you can call the show anytime, okay?
Thank you very much, Jerry and Beth. Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you,
God
Mary.
Bless.
And you did great. You did great.
Yeah.
Because she said she was a little nervous at first. She did. She was fabulous. I just want to say something real quickly about making friends with saints, okay? If you look at the lives of the saints, if you look at very holy religious and priests, you'll see that they have made friends with saints. And I'll go back to, I was just talking about the late Father Doug Lorig. We knew when we worked for him that when he was present and he was doing anything for the Lord, we knew that St. Therese of Lisieux was right beside him. We knew it.
Beautiful.
And he had such a close relationship with her. And so that's important for all of us, because we're united like that. We're alive more in Christ when we pass and are with the Lord like these holy men and women. And it's so important we stay connected. That's why I love Holy Mother Church, Jerry.
Yeah,
we got
for sure.
It right.
Well, that first Mary, we have another Mary who will be up right after Kurt in Boston, but we've got a phone line open at 833-288-3986. What would you like to share about your experience with, your love for, your adoration of Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist? Again, it's 833-288-3986. And as promised, we're going to go to Kurt, who is in Boston listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Kurt. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Debbie. How are you? I'd like to say, I mean, my devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, I'm trying to increase it. I have to increase it to increase my ability to be able to follow His will. And why I say that is because if you look back in history, I think the church grew under persecution. We're under persecution right now. Most Catholics don't even believe in the real presence. I constantly am dealing with people. Gee, how can you receive Jesus? He must be 300 feet tall. They don't understand what transubstantiation is. They think it's a cracker and wine. And I say, you know, like I have one guy who says to me, I'll go eat your crackers and drink your wine. I says, no, I did that when I was a Protestant. Now I eat his flesh and drink his blood. And then they really think you're even crazier. But that is the truth. And like I always said, our Lord resurrected one physical body, his own, because his own was sinless. And it's that body that he wants to give to us through, like you said, the obedience of bread and wine, through the words of the priest, which are the words of Christ himself. That's why the bread and wine obey, and it becomes his flesh. And you say, well, That would answer the question. That's why Jesus isn't, you know, 2,000 feet tall, because we have the matter, we have all the ability through the words of institution that changes, because it obeys. Everything obeys God because it obeys its creator. And I think there's too many in the church that believe the symbolism. You know, our Lord threw that seed out on every kind of ground you could think of, and it grew only on the fertile ground. And that fertile ground has to be the sacraments. That's what makes it fertile. You have to go to confession. You have to root out your own will, because at the end of the day, that mystical body of Christ will transform into you, because you'll become that physical body, because our Lord once again will raise his body and he'll look at himself. Even though we see ourselves, he will see himself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to portray to everybody who wants to listen to me without getting into any type of depth. But that's the faith. And there's no other church like it. And our Lord, like I told the kids, I used to help teach CCD, I used to help a teacher, I said, you listen to me. There's only one institution that's visible on this planet that our Lord resides in, and it's the Catholic Church. He has a little house, and you know he's home because the candle's lit. You walk in there, you don't genuflect to the crucifix, you genuflect to that tabernacle, or to a priest walking by you because he's an altar Christus. So I try to portray that to anybody who listens to me, and, you know, you just can't help say it. You know, that, I think, is when the Holy Spirit does speak, because you get a fire, and just like you say, that living water will come out of you like a fire hose.
Yeah. Kurt, great, great material, as always. Thank you so much. I just wanted to jump in and share a couple thoughts while they're in my head here. And, you know, you mentioned the importance of the Eucharist for following God's will, and, you know, that we're under persecution right now. We most certainly are. And, you know, what I was thinking is, as you were talking, what came to me during the night is Debbie, I know she does at her home when she's asleep, and when she wakes up, she ponders the next day's program, as do I. And I think one of the major problems with this non-belief in the real presence of Jesus on the part of supposed Catholics, those people who are baptized and call themselves Catholic, is because the way the Mass has been treated for, you know, the last 50, 60 years. I have great respect for the traditional Latin Mass. I know that's kind of coming under attack right now. The Novus Ordo is a valid Mass. It's licit and all of that. But still, the Mass has been treated by too many people. That includes, sadly, bishops and priests and lay people and liturgists and, you know, all of this stuff. It's been treated as kind of a plaything, kind of this experimental, how can we make it better? How can we make it more relevant? How can we make it exciting? How can we make it so that people want to come back? Well, you want to make it so people will come back, then do it reverently. And Jesus is there. Jesus is definitely present in the Blessed Sacrament. So, Debbie, that's just a thought that came to me during the night. It's the way the Mass has been, I think, abused in so many ways. People go to Mass and they say, well, I don't see anything sacred. I don't see anything reverent here. What's so mm-hmm. special about this? And mm-hmm. the Eucharist must be just a symbol because people are treating it like a symbol.
That's exactly anyway. Right. I completely agree with you on that because I was a liturgy coordinator for many years. And I used to see things I would scratch my head and walk out of there really, really depressed, actually, because you just know that if you treat it that way, if you treat the holy sacrifice of the Mass less than what it is intended to be, the people walk away with that exact feeling. So we're getting the results, and it's very, very sad. It's tragic. We need to bring it back, and I say we need to bring it back quickly. Kurt, thank you so much. You are just a precious soul. We received some messages coming in saying they absolutely love your passion, and we do too.
All right, 833-288-3986. Before we go to Mary, hang on just for like 30 seconds because we want to get to your phone call. It sounds like it's going to be a beautiful, poignant phone call. But Debbie, I know you wanted to mention something.
Word on Fire, yes. Word on Fire, Sunday afternoon for Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. Bishop Robert Barron illustrates the truth, beauty, and goodness of Catholicism. This week in this second part of our series on the Church Fathers, Bishop Barron goes on to take a look at some important church fathers from the pre-Nicene and Nicene periods. Did I say that correct? I did correctly? Did I? Yeah. Okay.
Sounded good to me.
Sounds good to me. We're going to go with it because it's Friday. Okay, yes, Bishop Barron does a great job. Okay, but you know, we could be talking about the Eucharist all week long on Take Two, and you guys are doing a great job, but Mary has been waiting so patiently, so we're going to focus our attention and listen closely to what Mary has to say from Illinois on Holy Family Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm so happy and so excited about your talk today.
Good.
And I just absolutely adore the Eucharist. and I wanted to just share some points with you that I would hope would help your listeners. When I gave birth to my youngest son, it was in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital, and a man came in with a suit, and he said, "I'm an extraordinary minister." I said, "Oh, boy, here comes the pitch. They're going to want to convert me." I said, "Well, I'm a Catholic." He says, "Well, I am, too." I hadn't heard the term. He said, "I have Holy Communion for you." I said, "Oh, really? Okay." So he only had one host left. He gave me a little tiny piece, and he gave it. It was one of the most powerful Eucharists I've ever had. And I just want to share that even the smallest little particle is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, years go by. I wind up being a Eucharistic minister myself, to the not only at Mass, but giving to the sick, pastoral. And so this morning, I'm recovering from a hip fracture, no less, right in front of the door of my Adoration Chapel. Okay, and so the gals came today and brought me Holy Communion. And, of course, I've been where I've given communion, and I've been where I've received it. And I love both, you know. So my husband died in front of the Blessed Sacrament in our Adoration Chapel. So I really try to go to a holy, a daily holy hour if I can. And, of course, we know, oh, my God, I call it the spiritual sunshine. I don't care if you say a single word, you're getting a nice little tanning booth there. And then I try to go to daily Mass. It's hard for me, but I'm offering this up, and I figure, fine, God's got a plan here, and I'll get through it. But I just wanted to say that when Our Lady and one of the church-approved apparitions, she wants us to receive, when we do receive Holy Communion, to offer it up for the conversion of sinners. And also, as I go up to receive our Lord, I take Mother Teresa's advice. I give my heart to Mary, and I said, "Please, Mary, give me your heart so I can love Jesus with your beautiful, perfect maternal love." Then when I get up there, I'm also praying for those that are shut-ins, they're in hospitals, or they're in persecuted lands where they can't receive. So I'm receiving for all of them. And that's basically my story.
Well, that last part was very, very important, Mary. Everything you said was beautiful, but we absolutely cannot take the reception of Holy Communion for granted, because we say, well, things like that can't happen in our country. Well, we don't know. Our country's going in a very bad direction. We had the lockdowns, the churches closed during the pandemic. So we should really make every reception of Holy Communion be as if it were our only one and our last one, because that day really could come. And I love how you said spiritual sunshine. I knew a priest one time, someone asked him, he did a holy hour in front of the tabernacle every morning about 6 o'clock. Somebody says, "Well, what do you say? What do you do?" And he says, "I gaze at him and he gazes at me." So you're right, Mary. We don't have to be using a lot of words, because there's just the objective reality of Christ's presence there, blessing us and giving us his graces. Deb?
Oh, that's beautiful. He gazes at me, I gaze at him. That's beautiful. And Mary, your story, wow, powerful. And thank you for bringing in Mother Teresa. You're spot on in how you view and get yourself prepared to receive our Lord into your body, Mary. That is so beautiful. I say you're living up to your name, Mary. Way to go. You're a special soul. We hope you recover well. I put you in the book. Keep us posted on how you're doing from the surgery, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah, beautiful. Wow. Oh, and if Mary can call back, give us your husband's name, too, because you mentioned your husband passed, so we can put well, God knows who Mary's husband is. I put a star next to her name.
Sure. Well, if you want to call back, Mary, you can. We got a line open there at 833-288-3986. You know, I think, go ahead.
What did that priest say again? How did he say it? He gazes
at me. He just says, I gaze at him, he gazes at me.
I gaze at him, he gazes at me. Wow, beautiful. We're getting a lot of messages coming in saying, are you going to mention the investigation that's happening with that viral video that's going around right now? It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. I just actually caught wind of it in the last day or so. But there is a story on Catholic News Agency. It's CatholicNewsAgency.com, where Cardinal Jose Francisco Robles Ortega of Guadalajara, Mexico, has spoken about this. He says the case is, quote, very serious, because it's a matter of the greatest sacrament of our faith, where we are certain, sure of the real living presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And so he's going to, I presume, launch an investigation into this.
Right. The video that's going around from the cell phones that for the people that were there that witnessed it, it appears to be a beating heart. It has mm-hmm. the same rate of a beating heart. It's very, very fascinating to watch. So let's pray to see how that turns out. And let's go to Rachel. Rachel is in Rhode Island. And Rachel, you're going to finish our wonderful discussion today on the Eucharist. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I'm Rachel. So come Holy Spirit. I hope I say this right because I'm a little nervous. But I have a really special like journaling relationship with this one priest that I've gotten to know. It's been a special blessing in my life. And so one time I just sent him a cute little picture of me holding a coconut cream pie up in the air. And I was like, oh, doesn't everything about my body language here say Betty Crocker? And he's like, oh yeah, because I don't like to cook at all. Like I hate cooking. I grew up with Hamburger Helper being like gourmet. So like I don't like to cook at all. So it was like a cute little thing I was trying to say. And then I guess maybe that term stuck with him, or just coincidence. I don't know. But I've heard the term body language come up in a lot of homilies that he said. And then recently he said, he was telling other priests, like, don't ever forget that the most important homily you'll ever give is your own body language. And then I heard that, because I listened to his homilies a lot, and I wrote him back a letter about, oh, yes, I totally agree with that. And then y'all had said a little thing earlier about the reverence of the Mass. So being so nervous, I wasn't even going to go into this, but then I heard that, and I thought it would be a nice little segue or a little emphasis on what y'all were saying. So talking about the Mass, and so this is my own words here, I say, now the Liturgy of the Eucharist, however, that's a different story. That is where I sense Jesus timidly asking me for my phone number as we are both wrapping up silverware at the end of our shift, and me being very glad that he did. That is where I sense Jesus reaching out for me on a crowded street just to make sure I was near and was safe. That is where my Jesus, after 50 years of marriage, tells me with a glass of shared wine in his hand that he still remembers that first time he ever saw me smile. That is the moment I am so very cold in a brutal Buffalo winter, after a heavy rain even, too. And my love gives me his very own coat and blows his powerful warm breath upon my numb and frozen fingers, trying to warm into physical and emotional comfort. That is the end of a very long day, and I am embraced by him through and through, both in our pajamas, and him saying, I did oh so well on that day, even in my mistakes. And he is so glad, even privileged, to now spend this time of rest and recovery with one another. That is the moment I hear from the doctor that my spouse has terminal cancer, and we both must now make plans as to how we would like to spend our final days together. And we reach out to hold each other's hand and just squeeze it as the world around us begins to spin. That is the moment the sword bearers step aside as I walk down the aisle to my groom, who is also my king, and he awaits on that hill overlooking Calvary. So in short, that part of the liturgy from when the priest arises and receives our gifts and begins to prepare the vessels and wash his hands until he sits after they have been cleansed and draped with the veil contains every purest expression of love that I could ever experience, wish for, or desire. So yes, your body language does mean a lot to us. So anyway, I'm nervous, but that's what I wrote, and I just want to like tell everybody that just the love outpouring and we give back during the Liturgy of the Eucharist is like really important, and it makes me cry.
So, oh, well, yeah. You know, Rachel, it's beautiful that makes you cry, though. You know, we are a church of not just spiritual things, but physical things. And that means, you know, we use physical things, bread, wine, oil, things like that. And also our bodily gestures say so much. That's why when the congregation goes through the Mass, you sit, you stand, you kneel. There's a meaning behind all of those and everything, not just what the priest says, but what he does. We had a teaching Mass in our parish a few months ago. It was absolutely eye-opening. So, Rachel, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
What a great display of calls and comments. You guys are amazing. You really appreciate the Most Holy Eucharist, and what a fantastic way to go into the weekend as we all prepare for our Masses this weekend. Wow, Jerry, this was a home run, I believe.
Absolutely, yeah. And we have another show, of course, on Monday. What we're going to be doing on Monday is we're going to ask you for your best clean joke. We've done this show a couple times, and it's always very funny and very popular. So get your jokes ready for Monday.
You gotta have a sense of humor, right? Okay, so with that, we're gonna let you go. Now you can get started with your weekend. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon. St. Joseph, please pray for us.